With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
We got your favorite sports and we got your favorite team.
Big Red,
go, go.
Big Red,
go, go.
Way out in California, but we represent the scene.
Big Red,
go, go.
Big Red,
go, go.
Pat,
Joe, and Tweety are here to make some noise. We got a podcast. We're based at Galliano.
Hey, welcome to the Big Red Copcast. I'm Pat.
I'm Joe.
That's my thing. I'm incoherent. That's my new.
Well, I mean, we're all incoherent right now.
Yeah.
I responded to a Kenny Bell tweet yesterday saying Nebraska's had a tough day, week, month, year.
This was decade. This was a terrible weekend to be a Husker fan because. You know, I mean, Creighton is a, I hate to say it, but they're a really good basketball team, but I don't like losing to Creighton.
They're a top 20 team. No, you don't. And especially we lost by like, what, 18, 20 points or something. It was closer and then it got real out of hand in the second half.
Yeah, they turned it on in the second half. But
it's taken me a while to get back. Like, I keep. The Creighton game was 6 o'clock Nebraska. So at 6 o'clock, I turned it on here.
Right.
And then it was like,
oh, because you've been in Nebraska, right?
Yeah. Like, and it, I missed the first quarter of last week's football game. I did Saturday. I figured it out finally, but
this
takes me forever to like,
let me pose a question. Who in the Big Ten is glad that we played this year?
Everybody who played us, they give us, you tweet after every game now.
That's fine. But ultimately for their whole season, even Ohio State. Yeah. But
who
just
did you
looking
tweet?
At everything, he said Scott Frost because he got to play. But, you know, the way this season shook out for almost every team was not worst case, but a bad case scenario.
Yeah. I mean,
Lovey Smith just got fired.
Yeah, which, by the way, now
Ohio.
Really?
Yeah, and now everyone's like, yeah, oh, well.
Exactly.
So he's fucking, you think he'll take a defensive coordinator job?
He'll get one in the NFL, probably.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be any
coordinator that might not have a job next year.
He wants to be somewhere where, you know, it's a little closer to Tampa weather than Chicago weather.
Yeah, exactly. I think we may need a new D coordinator, but really our offense, I don't want to talk too much about the game. Ohio State's the only team I can think of. Maybe Indiana, because they exceeded expectations. But Ohio State,
they did. I don't think they did exceed expectations.
Sure they did. They're going to be a top 20 team this year.
I think that if anybody was paying attention to them last year, they sort of expected them to have a.
This was still a little bit of a step up from last. I mean, they were good last year, yeah. But they've taken it another level.
Ohio State's going to get pasted by Alabama in the first round of the playoff, is my guess, if the Notre Dame Clemson game is anywhere close. Although, are they going to make them play a third time? Probably not. Ohio State would play Clemson if Clemson wins, and Notre Dame would play Alabama. Texas A&M slips in?
Well, I'm still thinking about your question as far as teams that are glad that they played. I'm going to throw a couple others in there. I think Ohio State is glad because they'll have a chance. They'll have a chance at a championship. Northwestern, yeah, they've won a divisional crown. Indiana, they've been able to prove that last year wasn't a fluke and that they're a team on the rise. And I'm going to go ahead and throw Iowa is probably glad too, because they're a little bit in the boat of Nebraska in that they were one of those schools that really wanted to play. And while they didn't take a step forward from previous years, they didn't take a step backwards.
Like everyone else did. Yeah, they got to play their season and no harm done.
They're a top 20 team right now. And, you know, clearly not taking a step forward is not an issue to Iowa. As long as they get to continue doing what they've done every year, they're fine with that. And they did that. They went 6-2 and beat basically all the teams that they want to beat in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Nebraska.
True. That's true. You know, we already went over this. I don't know how many more times I can do the same lament type episode. I was saying to my wife before we got on, I was like, you know, I was going to say that this is an episode, you know, I've never not wanted to do an episode this much, but I feel like that's become the norm.
Yeah.
Not that I don't like doing the episodes, but going into it, it's like, what the hell are we going to talk about that's not depressing? I had you guys, and actually, I may be doing a format change on the other show, in part thanks to the episode that we did.
You should pull that mic farther away from your mouth.
Okay.
There you go.
Sorry. Thank you.
All your peas are popping.
See, this is the kind of stuff you're a technical expert on. But we did an episode where we just basically were like three Nebraska fans kind of generally. Our listeners have heard us say the whole thing before, but we did a special sports dump episode. And then
we forgot to promo last week.
Well, then I'm promoing it now. Yeah. And then the episode after that, my friend Quincy wrote a bunch of anti-Nebraska jokes that it's hard really to say it's not true. Of course, they're bringing Tom Herman back at Texas, so he's just as mad. Anyway, point is, the show's called The Sports Dump, and all we did was dump on Nebraska. So I think next year I'm just going to do episodes where it's like, this episode is on Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, and four of us get together and just rip on Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. Now, we didn't really rip on Nebraska. We just kind of lamented.
We cried, basically.
Yes. Yes, we cried. Hopefully, like if we were to ever beat Iowa, then we could do an Iowa episode.
See, I don't want it to. What's sad, here's the part that's sad to me. That would become, at this point, a big sort of momentous occasion. I don't ever want Nebraska to have. I mean, I guess it's too late, but I don't ever want Nebraska to get to that point where, like, if Missouri knocked off Nebraska, like, holy crap, we did a thing, like, and stormed the field, like, that's where we're approaching right now, like.
I hope we don't storm a field by beating Iowa ever. We are approaching a real, and yet, you know, like I don't know if it's so much that I have faith in Frost now, but I have as much faith in Frost as I have in anyone fixing this thing. You know what I mean? Like, there's no solution that I would take over Scott Frost coming back next year. Well, now there might be changes.
Urban Meyer. If Urban Meyer said, I'll take the job.
You'd have to entertain that. I mean,
you have to. Because he'll win. And he'll win because he cheats.
Plus, well, three straight losses, no matter what the situation is, if Urban Meyer is coming in, you can justify that with three straight losing seasons and a guy who's won national championships in multiple schools. You could justify that swap.
Even and none of his other jobs. USC's not going to take him. Notre Dame's not going to take him. Texas just said they're not going to take him.
Take who?
Urban Meyer. Those are three jobs he would probably think of taking if they were open. Texas, yeah. Notre Dame, and USC. Those are three of the hugest programs in the country in terms of profile and resources.
Why won't
Nebraska,
they take-
Nebraska?
Because they're not firing anybody.
Right.
Oh.
And I don't think we are either.
And I don't think Urban would go for like an Arizona.
No. Do you think he would take the Nebraska job?
Probably not. It looks like a coaching graveyard right now.
And also, Urban Meyer doesn't want to follow Scott Frost. Whether Frost did well or not, it's not like you want to kick the native son out. Now, well, if he won, we'd forgive it.
After 3 years, even though they've been three very bad years. You were starting to say something, Tweety.
I don't remember what it was, but I will say this. Scott Frost should not be fired for 7 years.
Well, I definitely don't think he should be this year. I think next year is an absolute make or break year. Lovie Smith just got fired after 5 years at Illinois, and a lot of people thought that it should have been sooner. The reason it wasn't sooner was the buyout. The buyout got down to $2 million after this season, and that's why they got rid of him, even in a pandemic when people are taking pay cuts in athletic departments, including Lovie Smith. He took a 10% pay cut for 6 months. But so... So
who are they going to get in there?
I don't know. Maybe Lance Leipold, who's at Buffalo and has Nebraska ties. He won a bunch of Division III national championships, and he's done pretty well at Buffalo. That's a name that's gotten bandied about quite a bit.
It'll probably be it'll be someone in that range, most likely.
Yeah, but so like, and Nebraska is in a far worse position buyout wise right now with Frost, and they will even be over the next couple of years with Frost than Illinois currently was with Lovie Smith. But 2 years ago, Lovie Smith's buyout was $12 million. This year it was $2 million. So they saw an opportunity to be able to do that. I will say this, if you go four straight years without even a winning record, I don't care who you are, what your background is, that's going to be really hard to justify, and it'll be nothing but recruiting noise. There will be nothing but negative recruitment, and I'm sure it's already the sharks are circling.
Well,
right,
yeah,
now.
Exactly. I'm wondering when is signing day? It's in like a week.
But I think his recruiting is what's keeping him alive as a coach right now, but like retention currently is an issue, obviously.
Killed the Florida thing.
I think that there's a lot of coaches right now that are getting blamed for recruiting retention.
Yeah.
But also, let's not forget that they just opened up the portal and made it super fucking easy to transfer.
Well, and
You're seeing it everywhere.
Everywhere.
And we've talked about it on previous episodes too, but it's already hard enough for college kids coming from areas that aren't like where they're going to school to adjust, you know, to become college football players. It's already hard enough, but if you don't have the trappings of that college football environment of, you know, so Lincoln isn't quite the same city that it, or anywhere close to what it normally would be, in non-COVID times. And then also you don't get to have the fans. You don't get to go to the parties.
The fan experience is one of the Nebraska draws, and it's one of the big draws. And it's one of the things that makes us unique is the fan knowledge of recruiting and the way that they're treated when they come here.
Well, and if you don't get to go out and have a little fun, blow off a little steam, do the things, you know, where people are like, holy shit, that's a college football player. Let's have sex.
Or even doing normal college kid stuff. Like, yeah. I wonder what the rate of dropout for colleges in general is with kids going away this year, because normally if you go away as a freshman specifically, you go away to school and it's homesick and everything. But like you said, Pat, there's the parties, there's all that stuff. If you go and you're just in a room in Lincoln, why would you want to stay?
There's no draw to that, especially if you're a kid from Miami. You go to Lincoln, and suddenly right now it's fucking cold. You're on a losing team. You're not able to have nearly the contact with people that you would be used to having. There's no draw to that.
And if you do, and you get COVID and it affects the team, then you're like completely, like the whole team would be furious with you.
You're a pariah at that point.
Nebraska has had like basically no COVID issues, like of their own.
Yeah, I think there was rumor of Sevy and Morrison.
Yeah, I read like something like they had like 9 tests and only like 9 positive tests and like 6 of them were false positives.
Yeah, yeah. I thought there was 2 or 3 that they were sure of, but this is versus like the Florida basketball team has more cases.
Yeah.
That's scary how that happened. And they're just still playing. Like the entire team had it. And a guy went down. I don't know if you know this, Ryan. I know you're a big Nebraska basketball fan, but one Florida basketball, their best player
got collapsed COVID
in critical condition. Well, he the whole team had it basically. So they don't know exactly if there's a link, but you know, he's in critical care still.
Right
condition anyway, and it just, you know, game went on, basketball goes on, football's gotten, you know, they're looks like they're going to get through the season and everything, so there's some congratulations I guess to be handed out. But yeah, the numbers of some of these schools, LSU, well, I mean, Clemson, we know that they had like outbreaks where most of the team got it.
Well, shit, even just the team that beat us yesterday had 33 dudes not able to play, which is a pretty big indictment of yesterday's performance, but also like,
isn't it?
But yeah, I mean, that's,
do you think there's a letdown of senior day being now all the games with no crowds are a letdown, but like of all the games playing at Nebraska, your final game at Nebraska, perhaps, although it's only probably for 2 or 3 guys, cause all the seniors can come back. But do you think there was a bit of a like, man, this would have been a huge crowd, shit, blah, 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 and it's nothing. I don't know.
I mean, because I've been to senior day a bunch of times, and like there's the initial like, and I think the seniors are definitely playing for something, but I don't know. I think that's has more to do with just like their final go around. I didn't ever get the sense of like an extra energy in the crowd. Any of those games, and like those were, and you know, the Nebraska.
Well, I mean, they probably were, because a lot of times they were like rivalry games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they were Nebraska Colorado games, and they were like in bad
Nebraska
years,
Oklahoma
too.
Games or Nebraska. Sometime, yeah.
Well, I mean, the ones I went to anyway, talking about anyway. It didn't feel like any necessarily added juice besides what you talked about, Tweety, like that it's Nebraska Colorado.
So there's I don't know if how much or if we want to talk about the game. I mean, it's just blah, blah, blah all the way. One observation. Why
they have 11 losses? Scott Frost has 11 losses by one
score
or less.
Yes. Why do they throw that pass to Robinson backwards all the time when you could throw it straight or even forward and give him a little moment? I see other teams doing that same play. UCLA, I was seeing running a play very similar to that a bunch. And it's just like, why do we right off the bat, the first two offensive plays are the fumble. And then they do that play again. I mean, I just don't get that level of execution.
Well, someone brought up yesterday and I felt the same thing too. They just verbalized it before I could, where it's like, you can just get the sense in the first quarter of a lot of these games, like this very same type of Nebraska performance. You're like, you know what's eventually going to happen. Like,
yeah.
it,
inconsistency. Any drive that is good is going to be ended by a penalty or a ridiculous turnover.
Yeah.
Any defensive drive where we're about to get a stop is going to have like third and 17. Oh, a 64-yard, you know, draw run. It's just like you're right, Pat. Those are the things that that we've come to expect, and we are rarely disappointed in that way, except that we're always disappointed in that way.
Yeah.
Two other things that happened outside of the game. We're playing Rutgers. That's scheduled now.
Oh, gotcha. I actually
that is scheduled
seen that
for next week.
Great.
And Mackenzie Milton is signing with
fucking Bedrill.
Yeah,
that'll be the final nail in the coffin of the season.
The final nail in the coffin. I was thinking it's set up perfectly to end that way. And Mackenzie Milton signed with Florida State.
Oh, so yeah, everyone.
All my subscriptions to every Husker forum, and I haven't been on Twitter in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I feel better. I did not watch the fourth quarter of the game. I'm gonna just say
that black turtleneck, Pat, looks like Steve Jobs.
It's a hoodie.
He's going.
It's a hoodie. Yeah.
Well, the way the hoodie.
That's kind of like the Nebraska version of Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Let's make
Cobbs.
It.
Steve Cobbs. Very good. Nice.
Oh, yeah. Well, now it just looks like a smock. Now it looks like a smock.
You look like a German artist guy.
Or like a track coach.
Now's the time on Sprockets when we dance.
Yeah.
What was the other tweet I was looking for?
Let me ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
Do you think that Nebraska is better than its record, exactly equivalent to its record, or worse than its record?
Same as its record.
I think Nebraska is what their record says they are.
Every game was that of a 2-4 team.
Like, Jack Mitchell wrote something that I'm trying to find on Twitter, but I can't find it right now. But he wrote something yesterday that's Nebraska is basically a weird combination of a team that hasn't figured out how to win, but also a team with a weird amount of overconfidence that allows them to like come out flat in a lot of these games too. And like that's such a deadly combination. Yeah. And that is what Nebraska is right now. They just don't know how to win. And like,
and I don't know if you need one guy. I don't know if that's, you know, changing, if Martinez needs a change. I in no way wanted Mackenzie Milton to come to Nebraska, but you can see why the guy at Florida State would want him, because that's a losing
Mackenzie
culture
Milton
right now too.
Mackenzie Milton beat him three times.
Yes. But that's the thing. Like, you know, sure, he wants that, but he's bringing him in because of the winning. Now, does Tweedy's guy next year enter the competition?
Logan
Mothers? No.
He's small, but
I've given like,
what about making McCaffrey a running back?
No. Yes.
Yeah. Which brings me to like back to your point from earlier about how Nebraska just doesn't do the things that make like simple sense. Adrian Martinez has to come off for a couple plays yesterday. We bring on McCaffrey and just wing passes. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
An interception. Yep.
I don't know that this might be pass solving. I don't know.
No, it's not, dude. I've said it. I said it a month ago or 2 months, whenever it was. I'll say it again, dude. It's a simple fix. The fix is to fucking be simple. It's be simple.
Well, yeah.
Football is get the ball from one side of the field, the other side of the field. Just do that in the easiest way possible. Like, maybe first start with having an identity, like running back. If you want to go to the NFL as a running back, you come to Nebraska. Like, focus on that. Do you know what I'm saying? And then just fucking run the ball. Just
I do
the biggest, baddest fucking Midwestern motherfuckers and feed them a bunch of food and say, get us 4.5 yards every play.
You're saying be Wisconsin.
No, I'm saying be a better Wisconsin.
Well, I don't disagree with your sentiment, but also like Nebraska
or cheap.
Well, Nebraska has Frost and Nebraska have leaned on the idea of an identity almost too much, because they're like, we want to be this fast paced, quick tempo offense. That's not working. But yet, yes.
You know why it's not working?
Well, I mean,
because the players that you need to run that offense don't want to go here. So yeah, that offense isn't going to work here. So let's adapt, bro.
I agree.
Osbury great.
I agree.
Made Devaney great.
I agree. But like, we've decided this is our identity come hell or high water. Doesn't matter if we're playing the worst rushing defense in the Big Ten and we have a senior running back in Dieter.
Then your Mills. Identity is actually that of a fool. Like that.
Yeah, I don't. I think you're right. I think it was a simple pound, 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 pound. Go SEC. If the score is what it is at halftime, fine. Keep running it in the second half and eventually hopefully wear them down, because they're down in numbers.
And at least start there. And if you want to start adding elements of the up-tempo offense to that, great. But get a base
off of that. Off of that. Yeah.
Well, this is basically a heightened version of the Callahan issue, where he had an idea of what he wanted his identity to be, and even offensively, and even if the game
was not the problem.
Well, no, I know, but well, there were two issues. There were two issues with Callahan that were very big, and they're both here right now. The first one being he had an idea of what he wanted his offensive identity to be, and come hell or high water, no matter what the defense or the game dictated, he was going to play the way he wanted to play, even if running the ball was going to be the better option. He wanted to wing it all over the field. That's what Callahan did. That's what Frost is doing. The other issue is they both hired buddies as defensive coordinators who had no business being defensive coordinators at Nebraska, and they're both, and neither has been fired to this point.
Overmatched, yeah.
It almost feels like the number one key to a two others, two. There's two keys to every good, great team success. One, ability to cheat. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Some teams cheat better than others. Those teams win. And then two is the assistants, man.
Yeah. I don't
assistants
mean
assistants are everything. Scott Ross isn't in the trenches with those players. I bet you he doesn't know half the players' last names or first name.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's the way a lot of head coaches are. I mean, but
he knows their names.
I know. You get my point.
I'm going to make a super hokey point, but there's a book called Team of Rivals that basically was about how Abraham Lincoln,
Doris Kearns Goodwin,
hired a bunch of people who were not his buddies because there was importance in that in his administration,
and he got some honest feedback.
Yeah. And I think that would be very important on a staff. It's maybe a bit uncomfortable, but also, hey, bro, you're making $5 million a year. No one's asking you for comfort in your position.
Yep. And right. I don't think, And we're not bringing in a Diaco or a Pelini who's going to try to, I mean, there are enough good defensive coordinators out there.
Yeah, I understand not wanting to work with a Bo Pelini.
Sure. But you can still get somebody who's in there who is a competent defensive coordinator and isn't going to try to take your job.
You know, it's funny because I think the UCF situation before Nebraska was a blessing and a curse. It was a blessing because we had the hot coach. We got a bunch of big time recruits. Boom. Right. It was a curse because it gave him overconfidence in his staff.
Yes.
Or
and he had the leverage to bring them all in. But right. I remember that season, that perfect season for them. I watched quite a few of their games, and there were games where their offense was winning it at the end. There were those were shootouts for the most part. And that was that league and everything.
Also, at the beginning of that season, there were games that the defense won.
Yeah, and they got a lot of more turnovers on that defense.
Yeah, that Auburn game, there was either a pick six or a fumble return.
And we've gotten none of that. Well, we got one in the game we won. Was it Northwestern? Yeah.
That's the biggest thing is like, why there's two things that Scott Frost and Shenander both promised. Scott Frost promised high potency offense. We're going to score. I mean, we see glimpses of it, but it's not consistent.
Not
and then with, And then with Chenander, it was like, we're going to get a bunch of turnovers. And it's like, well, where's that?
No, well, we haven't. You know what? We can't touch the quarterback.
The other part of that is, like, we've had two straight defensive coordinators in Bob Diaco and Eric Chenander, who've hung their hat on their identity is Ben don't break yardage wise and then get a bunch of turnovers. There's no specific schematic like element to getting a bunch of turnovers.
Oh, well, but blitzing and stuff.
Well, yeah, but like statistically speaking, if you're giving up a lot of yards and then getting turnovers, like if you're not giving up a lot of yards and you're getting turnovers, that's the sign that you're getting pressure and you're making it hard. But like if you're giving up a lot of yards and getting turnovers, turnovers are just bailing you out for a bad defense. Like that's not a statistically sound defense that you can truly hang your hat on. Unless it's a
pass rush defense.
Yeah,
which is not what Nebraska is.
There are components to like sport statistics that indicate like the likelihood of success, and some of those things are considered luck statistics. And if you get all
turnovers,
those to break if you get all those to break your way, then you may have a successful season. But the following season, there's probably going to be a reversion back to the mean. And turnovers, in many cases, are considered a luck statistic.
Sure. Like,
again, you can create them, sure. But if you're giving up a lot of yards and you're relying on those, that's ultimately not truly a sign of a superior defense.
And you need some other things to go right too, like no penalties. I mean, how many god awful backbreaking penalties has there been in Nebraska
for ages?
Ages. That's something you can correct.
Yeah.
You know, seemingly.
I feel like we're not welcome in the Big Ten.
We are not.
Have you ever been to a party and pretty much felt like you went to a party with your buddy that was supposed to be like a private party or something? And
oh yeah,
like that. And then it's like,
absolutely,
you just realize immediately that no one really wants you there, but mm-hmm, they have to sort of deal with you.
Yeah. And what you do then is you end up, you either end up being the funniest guy there and winning everyone over, or getting in a fight. Or, I've had all those things happen to me.
We're basically,
so what's Nebraska going to do?
We're at that party and drunkenly belligerent.
Yeah. And we're not entertaining anyone though. So we either got to kick the shit out of somebody real bad, or we got to start doing some entertaining shit.
We've taken a shit in their potted plants.
And then brought everybody up over to say, look what we did.
Yeah. This is a way better shit than Iowa would have done.
No, actually, that would be great. That would be if we came in and beat the hell out of him. That's what Tweety would want to do, is go into a party where everybody hates him, take a dump in the fireplace, and make everybody watch it burn.
Yeah.
We wish we could do that.
And then thank me for it.
Yes, right. At this point, we're just like, we're up there and we're foaming up the keg. We're like, you know, we're pumping it. And they're like, what are you doing? And we're like, yeah. Oh, no, it's good. And they're like, who the hell is this guy? And it's like all foam forever. And we're like, it's great this way. I love foam. That's what's happening to us right now. How pitiful. Okay. So Mackenzie Milton signs. We've got Vedrill coming in next week.
Where's that game?
I mean, what happens? I think it's in Lincoln, which is another funny thing. He gets to come back to Nebraska.
I don't even want that game.
I just no. Like, let the kids go home.
Yeah.
And I have to think the team doesn't want it either.
They don't seem like they do. What were you going to say, Tweety?
I will watch every Husker game until the day I die.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't have an ounce of give a fuck left in me. I just don't.
And
like,
honestly,
I want to be mad. Here's the thing. I want to be mad that Ohio State, that they're changing all the rules for Ohio State. And we got all this fucking, the entire fucking world talked so much shit about us.
Thanks for bringing football back, Nebraska and Ohio State. And then, Ohio State's 5-0, and we're 2-5.
But that's fine. I get it. I don't care.
There's your difference.
Right. But I want to be mad.
Yeah.
But there's so many other things that I don't even care about. Why do I care about that?
That's the healthy approach right now, because if we allow if we allowed ourselves to care the way that we have in previous years, and then just got destroyed like this every week, and I realize we only lost by 7, but come on, it was to a team missing 33 guys. If we allowed ourselves to care to that level, it would be unhealthy. And there are people on our Twitter timeline who do care that much, but it's
Nebraska football team is not that into you. You know what I mean? Like we are giving them our all, and right now they're not so, they don't care, and they can't feel it. But that's another thing. You know, what are these games like with 90,000 fans? Is that a difference? Who knows? Can I read to you the texts my sister sent about my dad watching the game yesterday? She didn't know there was a game. She just heard him downstairs yelling. So here's what she sent. No, my mom, dad cussing at TV game? ? Mom, oh boy, somebody screwed up. He was wide open. Here we go again. He said this 6 times in a row. And then what a bunch of bums. Another turnover. These are all quotes.
This is the oldest trash talk I've ever heard. What a bunch of bums.
Oh yeah. He's by himself yelling this in the living room. This is reports from outside the room from people. I think there's my brother said Nebraska is the equivalent of West Bromwich Albion. That was all of them. There was maybe one more. Oh, pathetic. That was another thing. Yeah. So those were the yelled quotes that my mom sent me where she figured out it was a Nebraska game.
They all sound like things your brother Mike would say.
Oh, yes.
I heard every one of those things in his voice.
Just a generation up.
Dude.
Yeah. Well, that's a great way to listen to them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man.
I think Ryan's getting ready to say something. He's coming up to the mic there.
Well, no, I just.
Do we win? Are you going to watch the game next week?
Of course I'm going to watch. Ask me if we win.
Do we win?
I don't care.
You going to win?
I don't give a fuck.
I mean, what? Yeah.
If we win or lose, I'm just putting in the hours now in hopes that someday, maybe, we're good again. And I can say I was a fucking fan win. It's the only fucking reason I'm fucking watching these bullshit games.
We're like Red Sox and Cubs fans now.
It's because I fucking did it for so long. I'm going to follow it through. It's like that bit you just beat the shit out of, because you know if you do it for an hour, eventually it might get a laugh.
It might eventually. You're right.
Well, we're getting laughs. All right. That's for sure.
We are. And that's fine. It's how we deal with it right now. First of all, can I give a thank you to all the Iowa listeners, the Minnesota listeners, the Wisconsin listeners, all the listeners who aren't Nebraska fans who listen? I don't know why, but thanks for listening.
The Schadenfreude is a very powerful thing.
It must be. But again, just think about how you look doing this, folks.
Like, I don't know
what Schadenfreude means.
It means they love our misery. They enjoy our misery.
Yeah, just reveling in other people's suffering.
But again, they don't boo nobodies. Even though we are nobodies now, like, if Purdue has this run like us, which they've had, nobody gives a shit. Nobody's saying anything. Nobody's trolling them. That's the one thing we have. People are still pissed off. I mean, rub it in when we win. We must have been real assholes when we won. I wasn't, but
I could deal without.
No, it's that we're real assholes when we lose.
Well, true.
You know how much shit I've talked? Like, how many times I've posted the 313 meme from 8 Mile? You know, where it's just like, yeah, I know we lost, but I'm still going to keep talking shit. And I don't. I mean, that's why they hate us. They hate us because we talk shit when we win and we talk shit when we lose. And no matter what, we'll beat you next time. Yeah, fuck you. That's why they hate us, because we're all assholes.
And we're still loyal to the team somehow. That probably is very disconcerting.
The fact that we
to them.
Still care. Furious.
Yeah.
The fact that we still seem to care. That's the big thing. Because, like, how would you trash talk like a Purdue fan for having another losing season? Like, oh man, Jeff and Mark, like, this must really suck to have a team that's doing what it's historically done, other than a couple of good years with like Drew Brees and Kyle Orton. Like, man, must really
Jim
blow.
Everett. Jim Everett.
Yeah.
Don't forget him.
I already had. It's
me, Chris Everett.
Oh,
unbelievable. Incredible. Chris Everett. You're not going to come across that table. Oh, no.
Tweety's favorite moment in sports journalism.
Oh, I mean, I could watch that over and over again.
It's just him going, have you ever heard the part where they didn't cut the audio?
Yeah, I've seen every.
And you just hear him going, ah!
Yes. I mean, Jim Everett was like 6'5". That was a big dude.
I mean, I respect him for talking. I respect the shit talk. I do not, however, feel sorry that you got slammed by Jim Everett.
No, he got what he deserved.
I respect you, but he did what he's supposed to do as well. You both
played the part.
You did what you were supposed to do.
Yeah, it's like wrestling, that thing. Respect all, but I don't think that was planned.
Well, that is essentially what Jim Rome is pro wrestling in sports.
Incredible. Unbelievable.
That's a decent Jim Rome, by the way.
I've done it. I've worked on it before. The Sklar brothers are actually the guys who go in for him when he's out. And I couldn't think of a more different kind of approach to sports and stuff, but
I would go for it. He thinks Sklar brothers. I would not do the same for Jim Rome.
Yep, exactly. All right. We've done a really good job of saying exactly enough about the game. Do we know when the signing day is? Is it after our game next week? Because that would be the only reason to want to kind of win.
No, it is before the next game, I believe.
Okay, so that's the next thing we have.
You think we get a bowl game?
What's that?
You think we get a bowl game?
We definitely don't. We don't have a winning record. And there's going to be a lot of bowls that are canceled as well coming up. Because you can't have fans.
Like, a 2-win Nebraska has a bigger pull than like a 9-win Cal State.
Yeah, but what is pull when you can't actually let people into Yankee Stadium to watch the pinstripe?
Exactly.
TV draw.
That's exactly what.
Fair enough.
But I don't think for these bowl games where they're all on ESPN, ESPN is screwed if all these bowl games go. You're going to be watching like high school bowl games. So our next episode,
I would like more than to watch ESPN go bankrupt.
Why?
Yeah, you're right. You know what? I my favorite show is leaving in the beginning of January. The show that basically makes up 1/3 of all their downloads, of ESPN's total podcast downloads, Levitard Show, is out in January. And so I got no use for ESPN either. Let's tear them down.
ESPN got into the being in like the sole provider for certain conferences.
Well, they signed a big SEC contract. And so they have the ACC and the SEC. You're right.
Yeah. So
they're just going straight games and content and no real flavor at all. No uniqueness whatsoever. They're dumbing it down. Probably work. But bleh. So our next, that's the point. Our next episode is going to be kind of, I think each year we seem to pull some name out of nowhere that I didn't know on signing day. So hopefully there'll be something like that this year and we won't lose too many people.
Yeah. I don't know how much of our class is going to be early and how much is going to be.
I think a lot of people are going to sign early.
I mean, that's where things are trending. The last couple
and
of
I
years.
Think this year you're going to want to even be more. Sure. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you think, oh, if it clears up, I'll have a choice at another school. But
Yeah, I mean,
I would suspect we'll get most of our class. I just hope we get like an extra guy. A pass rushing guy would be nice.
That ain't happening.
Do you think they make Fedone a DE or a linebacker?
No, he's not.
All right.
He's going to be an all-American.
Maybe one of the other guys. Maybe Rollins.
An all-American tight end that graduates at another school.
Oh, God. Yeah. Jesus. Well, this turned from like the most Homer podcast to like a pretty fucking pessimistic one.
Do you think Fedone's not going to sign him in Nebraska?
No, I think he's going to sign and he's going to transfer out when Scott Frost gets fired in 2 years.
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, we're going to end? We got to turn this around.
I don't think he or Wandale will transfer because I think they'll do everything they can. I mean,
I bet you Wandale isn't here next year.
Well, I think they're doing everything they can to make sure he gets the ball. And I think that's enough for him. I think
Wandale just needs one more year and then he'll go pro.
Best thing for Nebraska is Rondale Moore to go in like the first round.
Well, also
he'll probably go early second, maybe.
Wandale isn't going to transfer because he would have to sit for a year because he wouldn't have the extenuating circumstances to be able to not sit out. And he wants ideally, I think, one more year than the NFL. That would be.
So and to just play one more year in front of fans at Nebraska, yeah. I have confidence. Well, certainly there'll be some fans. I really do think we're going to have full fans by September next year.
I think so too.
Because honest to God, the schools will buy inoculations by that point just to have people like, you don't have one yet? Come on, over here.
Yeah.
I really think at that point it would, you know. So that's, you know, I'm trying to put a little cherry on top of this shit sundae here.
Easier said than done right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's just what it is. It is a shit sundae and we just got to eat this thing.
What are our listeners going to think if this is how we go out today? I'd like to know.
I mean, I don't.
Like, maybe this one's for the haters, this episode.
Like, I try to think of all the things that need to be fixed. And there's so many things that need to be fixed. Then where do you even start? Like, is the quarterback situation that good? I mean,
seemed like it at one point. And now,
how many overthrows did Adrian Martinez have as a junior at the end of the season yesterday? Because he must have missed his target by 3 yards on like 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, there were some missed
passes. I mean, he didn't hit anything over like 10 or 15 yards. He would miss by a mile. He would overthrow or underthrow or throw it out of bounds. Wandale should have had 2 more, like, we should have won that game by 21 points. There's no reason that game was so close.
No, exactly. And you could point to several of our losses and said they could have been covered wins.
12 of them. 12 of them have been.
Well, but the way the games have been played, it's not always that case. But there have been easily in that 11 games you talk about, easily 3 or 4, probably 5 or 6, where it was just shooting ourselves in the foot repeatedly. You know, 2 crushing penalties per game taken out, and we probably win 4 games.
Yeah. So our offense 11. Only works with the Justin Fields quality of player. You have to have a guy that can run and also throw.
I think they got film on Martinez and they know what throws he can make and they try to take those away and they put him in those throws like you're saying, where he overthrows it. So the first year was very successful on that. He's also not great under pressure. Not a lot of quarterbacks are, but I mean,
his decision making has.
He's better than McCaffrey, yeah. But I just think that defenses have caught up to him.
I don't think defenses were ever not caught up to him. I think we were just.
The first year they were not.
I mean, he was a freshman. I don't know. He did good his first year.
He had a very good freshman.
It wasn't, for a freshman.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, a freshman starting quarterback, true freshman Big Ten starting quarterback is not nothing.
Yeah. Sure. And I think, too, that is the ultimate indictment of Mario Verduzco, because there has been regression. And part of that is, like Joe said, where it's like a pitcher who pitched.
I don't think there's been regression. I just don't think there's been any growth.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like a baseball pitcher facing the first nine batters can look pretty good. But once he's been through the lineup once, everyone has seen the pitches that he throws. They know what his strengths are. They know what his weaknesses are. And then you can tighten the screws. The problem is Adrian Martinez and Mario Verduzco haven't adjusted to other defenses.
That's right. Adjustments. That out.
So he hasn't gotten any better. And he's
our
just
second half
stagnant.
Our second halves are the same thing. Our second halves are the exact same indictment. No adjustment on our part.
I think our team is so young, they don't know the playbook, and they're just given. So if it's not that, then Frost needs to be fired.
It goes back to what you said earlier, though, then, Tweety. If we have a bunch of young players who cannot handle the complexities of the offense, then you got to simplify it.
Right. But then you have a bunch of losses. So
we already have that.
Yeah. Right, well, but you only get so many more.
But what I'm saying is it couldn't have been worse than it is already. Maybe we win a couple of those close games, as Pat says, if we dumb it down.
Well, I think we have dumbed it down. What you're talking about is playbook. What I was talking about was offensive style. Like, I still think you should have a full playbook, but let's be a running team.
And also in a year like this where you're got limited, go ahead.
Well, no, it's, I think we're all kind of basically in agreement, but I think, you know, simplifying what you do, doing, you know, you did basically say find an identity and do that well, and something like just running the damn ball. And I hate to be that old, you know, going to the pancake feed Husker fan, but like that is what it is. Like it's not just simplifying the playbook, but simplifying the concepts of the playbook.
Yep.
Just do. I mean, I hate
if you don't have an NFL quarterback back there.
I hate to give Iowa credit for anything, but they do simple, basic things well. We do not. And here we are trying to do fucking calculus when really we just got to learn how to add 4 + 4.
Yep. Because the wave we've lost is due to a lot of complications, you know. Penalties come from, you know, not knowing the playbook or not being consistent and not being drilled and what's the word I'm looking, disciplined.
And basically trying to run before you crawl.
Right. Yes.
That's
all right. I gotta run soon.
Well, that's fine. I think
final thoughts.
I think we've talked ourselves out.
We got one more. We got one more episode this year, it seems like, and then we maybe take a break till January.
That's not what we do. We'll have interviews, bro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we have any in the can, or do we have some coming?
No, but not. We don't have anything yet. But don't get lazy on me, Joe. Don't you get lazy?
All right. Here we go, guys. I guess there's more interviews coming. We might be able to get Kenny Bell.
Yeah, probably so. You got any final thoughts, Tweety?
Mike Leach or bust.
Mississippi State is not exactly lighting the world on fire right now either.
No, yeah, that's a fun
one. But at least here's the thing, man. If we're gonna lose, I want good press conferences.
That's true. You'll get that from him.
Yeah, I can get behind that. All right.
I think maybe we ought to give them an improv workshop, the coaching staff. Get them a little more flexible.
No.
Yeah. That's the last thing they need.
They need to worry about fucking football, Joe.
Okay.
They don't need to make worry a prediction. About your funny ha-has.
Prediction. We're going to pull a recruit signing from Hawaii signing day.
I hope so. That would be great. All right. Unprovable currently claim will be how we end this. Follow us on Twitter at Big Red Cobcast. We're on Facebook.com/Cobcast, Patreon.com/Big Red Cobcast. Tweety, take us out.
Fatty rides the bus.
Fatty rides the bus.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at huskerfilm.com.